I started role-playing when I was around 12 years old. My name is Dan Harmon, and on Harmon Quest, I play Fondue Zubag, a half-orc ranger.
And today on the show, we'll be talking with Dan Harmon and the rest of the cast to take you behind the scenes of Harmon Quest.
The cool kid on the block who was 15 and was from California in our Wisconsin neighborhood, and who smoked weed and knew how to use a skateboard and stuff. He also played this game, Dungeons and Dragons, and took us into his parents' basement and one afternoon and like handed us these sheets with all these numbers on them and explained how this thing works, and I became like enthralled with it.
Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. So I guess the place to start is, how did Harmon Quest begin?
I think I was always just thinking that it might be fun to try and fail to successfully roleplay on the podcast. I think I remember thinking that the comedy of it all would be being unable to find a dungeon master and also being unfair to the medium by treating it like it was Project Runway or something, that we were looking for the right dungeon master and that we would just have an adventure with them and that therefore the power dynamic would be all screwed up because we'd be judging them and they'd be trying to please us, but we'd be auditioning them for the role of having all this power over us.
Hey guys, it's Spencer Crittenden. I'm the game master, and it's been a long journey to get to here. When I was out of high school, I was working a dead-end job. I had just broken up with my first girlfriend at the time, and I needed something else in my head other than negativity. So I started listening to podcasts, and that got me onto Harmontown. And then I came to Harmontown because it tapes in LA. And my first time going to Harmontown, Dan Harmon, he asked if there was any dungeon masters in the audience.
And I truly thought that when I asked, do we have any dungeon masters in the audience? I thought there would be 10 hands that would go up because it's my audience, but there was only one and it was Spencer. And it turns out it doesn't matter. It was the only hand that needed to go up.
I raised my hand and answered some questions, and then he recruited me to run a D&D game for him. So we started playing that on the podcast and I became a regular member of the podcast. And
yeah, we discovered Spencer, Dan and I mean, I've told the story on the show before on Harmontown. Dan and I met before the show and he said, like, I want to start playing D&D like at home. Pardon. Hello, my name is Jeff B. Davis and I play the character of Boneweevil, the goblin extraordinaire. Sorry. He said, I want to start playing D&D at home. And so let's use Harmontown as kind of like an American Idol where we just bring up a different dungeon master every week until we find the one that we like. The first night we found Spencer and we stopped looking. Dan played D&D before, like in high school. I did not. My D&D experience has only been through Spencer. Yeah. And we just lucked out on having the coolest dungeon master of all time.
You know, that part's hard to remember. It was pretty organic. Yeah. I mean, it was just a simple matter of, oh, this game is working. People are interested in it. Let's keep having Spencer back on and continuing the game.
I had actually played a role-playing game when I was a kid. Actually, I don't know if it counts because it was a game that was designed to play by yourself. Hi, my name's Erin McGathy, and I play Barbarian Bior O'Shift. And so I had there were like books that accompanied the thing and like charts, and you would roll fights, and it was It was a lot more simple than Pathfinder, obviously, because you're just playing it by yourself. But Harmontown was really like my big, real introduction to Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder and RPGs in general.
Then I think sometime around when Greg Proops came on, it definitely felt after one of the episodes like, oh, this is a very entertaining little show. And I think that around the same time, I was watching the Ricky Gervais podcast show on HBO. and noticing how much I liked it when.
Is that the animated one?
Yeah. I was just noticing, like, if I'm watching something on TV and I'm laughing so hard my sides hurt, you know, I should notice that and say, well, you know, you need to notice that this is something that you really, really like. And I think it's just that formula of Carl Pilkington, you know, rambling about some justification of something or some theory he has, but you know, laid against these craftspeople exhaustively illustrating exactly what he's talking about.
Well, I mean, it is improv, and awesomely, you get to sit down while you do it. There's not a lot of running around and, you know, skinning your knee. But the thing about this that's really needs your improv training is you have to listen to everything because it's so detail-based. And if you forget a detail, you can be trapped in a dungeon forever, as we frequently are. We're constantly just stranding ourselves because you forgot one important little detail. So I try to take a lot of notes, like actually write a lot of things down. And sometimes that really comes in handy. But like all improv, it's really about listening. It's paying attention.
I think Jeff's a lot better at using his improv background than I am. Like, I'm a little self-conscious the way that I play. It's similar. Yeah, I mean, there are some similarities, but I'm always trying to, like, figure out what is. You're always, like, walking the line between saying something or doing something because it makes the overall story better, or because you think it would be funny, or is in line with what your character would do versus what maybe one would do if they came at it just from a role-playing perspective.
And there's just something so funny about that to me. The folly and sloppiness of real audio supported by this immense teamwork oriented art form where there's absolutely no such thing as spontaneity. Everything is drawn and meticulously planned and designed and stuff. So I just thought maybe this will work. I don't know.
I mean, one of the things that you're kind of known for is story structure, the story circle, stuff like that. How much of that are you thinking of during the tapings of these episodes? Are you looking for each of the thresholds, beginning, middle, and ends? Are you trying to be true to the character? Are you letting Spencer handle that?
It's the latter. I try to be true to the character, and I let Spencer handle it because I know from experience that if I decide, this would be a good time for there to be a conflict, and Spencer hasn't decided that, then I'm not going to get very far. I try to just find the rails that we're on narratively and actually get off of them most of the time. Sometimes I'm so thrilled that I can recognize them that I stay on them and commit to them. But I also will, like, I'm a big fan of just randomly bolting in one direction, saying that I run full speed to kind of prove to myself and to Spencer and to the audience that it's not the Truman Show, that there is an infinite universe within the imagination. The first version was a much lower budget affair, where we knew we wanted to have a live audience, but we never thought we would actually be cutting to the live audience. In the final product, we simply figured this would be like a web compatible thing, kind of like the Ricky Gervais HBO podcast adaptation, where it's fully automated, fully animated from beginning to end. And the concept of the audience being there is, in this case, would just be something you would hear. I just knew from the podcast that I felt like we would need that audience reaction. But Evan Shapiro from CISO, when we talked to him about the show, he said he would want to do it, you know, with the live action component in there and produced well, because there are some people out there that just thinking it's animated might not even bother to give it a try, whereas everybody likes to look at a famous person. And then if you transition into the animation, that they'll find out that they like the animation and they'll stick around.
And so Dan, just once he sold the show, he kind of just left it to me, and I had to figure out how to make it happen. And we worked with the network, and we just, you know, we came up with a story and we figured out how to make it happen.
So after that fateful night of going to Harmontown, did you ever think you'd end up here?
No, it's crazy. I mean, people ask me what I like, how I think about that kind of nexus, that crossroads in time, and how, what I imagine myself back then and how I can see myself back then from now. But I just have no clue. I mean, like I said, I broke up with a girlfriend. I was in a really bad place. I literally don't know what would have happened to me. Podcasts helped me get out of my depression and get me my job at Apple, which really kind of gave me more free time and stuff. So I might not have gotten that job. I literally might just be making like roughly minimum wage. I wouldn't be living with my parents because they broke up. So I might not be able to afford to live in a home. But yeah, no, literally every single aspect from where I wake up, when I wake up, everyone I interact with, everything I think about, stuff I have to do, it's all 180 degrees different than what it was on that fateful day. And it's insane to think about. Literally no aspect of my life is the same.
Is there any, like, is there any dream guest that you'd love to play one of these games with?
Yeah. Like a real dream guest, or like we could actually get them?
Yeah, I keep saying I'd love to have Vin Diesel on the show because he's notoriously an avid role player. And he so doesn't cut the silhouette, you know? I think a nerd would think of him as the kind of guy that you didn't want to run into in the hallway in high school. And for me, role-playing still is rooted in a lot of nerd culture. Which is the culture of alienation, the culture of overcoming alienation, trying to connect. And I think the idea of, you know, big, muscular, sexy, famous, popular people playing this game with us in a soundstage in Hollywood is the epitome of what makes this version of the show great. And so I would just lean in the direction of, hey, if Bruce Willis plays Dungeons and Dragons, let's get him in here. I don't think he does. I think he's a Trump supporting gun nut that probably thinks pencils are snakes. So Vin Diesel's sounds good to me.
Obama, I think, would be really good, or Joe Biden, or failing that, The Rock Johnson, or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, or Vin Diesel. I think those four would be, I mean, that's all guys. It's not very diverse, but those four guys, I think, would be really funny to get in front of the character sheet.
Great. Any last parting thoughts or anything like that?
No, just, I mean, am I parting? I guess I leave my dogs to my girlfriend, and, don't forget to, well, just don't look in the box that I put in the crawl space. It's a sex doll, but I'm done using it, and it's only small because it was cheap.
If anyone wants to get involved with role-playing games, there's a few different directions to take. Obviously, it's a social game, so you need people. You can ask online. There's resources to find gaming groups in your area. You could also just go to a local comic book or game store. They often have nights, like Thursday nights or Wednesday nights, where they just play D&D, and there's just a ton of people playing, and you can just go in and talk to them and meet up with them. So if you have friends that want to play, then you got a group right there. So once you have the people, then you got to get the books. So depending on what the game, let's just say Pathfinder. So you get the core rule book, and then someone else has to get the game mastery guide and the bestiary. And once you have those three books, you can start playing. It's a lot of work. You got to read the core rule book, kind of like a textbook, and study it. And it teaches you how to make your character and how to play the game. But that's all it takes is everything within that book. So you get the book, you get your friends, you read the book, you keep reading the book, you read it more and more and more. And then you just keep reading the book and you read it and you read it and you read it until you understand what's going on. And it might take 10 years, but that's how you get it going.
But you guys get the idea, right? Let's quest!
Dan Harmon invites his famous friends to act out his role-playing fantasies.
My name is Tech Powers!
And give him a little kiss.
Oh, shit!
And flex their comedy muscles.
You fly into a barbarian rage, violently!
I hope you guys don't find that song annoying because I'm committing to it.
It's your what you talking about, Willis.
The villain's rage.
You motherfucker.
The hero's fight.
We are the worst at this.
But the game master always rules.
I try the internal lever.
Oh, man. The cart starts rolling.
Own Weevil!
No, not fast, though. Just, you know.
Bone Weevil. Now who's an alcoholic?
Thank you all for listening, and be sure to check out Harmon Quest on CISO next month. If you'd like to, you can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Steven or the show at CISO Show. Thanks again for listening, and thanks to Dan, Spencer, Aaron, and Jeff. See you next time.